Luke 15 and 25. Luke. Now, his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music,
papers in the room,
and dancing.
It was the other one is party, wet y'all. Man. So it's in the room, and that's where you were.
Are we good? I'm going to start over. Luke 15, 25. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. What's going on? And he said unto him, man, your brother done came back home. And your father threw some tomahawk steaks on the grill because he have received him safe and sound. And he was happy. Just trying to check and see if you're following it along with him. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering him to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandments. Don't you just love when people start comparing themselves to other people? And yet thou never, whatever, put a tomahawk steak on the grill for me, that I might make merry with my friend. But as soon as this traveling, nothing, yours come back home, who, by the way, devoured all your money with harlots. But we don't talk like that. This trifling son of yours who went to Vegas, spent all your money at the strip club. When he get back, you gonna throw a barbecue for him? And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. And all. Y'all know what all mean, right? It mean all. And all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry. It's only right we have a party. That's all he gonna ever get is a party. He done blew everything else. And be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. Here it is, and was lost, and is found. They got a song for that. It's called Amazing Grace. Was lost, but now your brother is found. Anybody got any lost relatives? Mm-hmm. Who's lost and is found? That's reason to throw a party. If my brother and my sister gave, they like the price. I don't care what they did. We having a party. You ain't got to come, but we going to celebrate this. Your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. And you out here tripping. For a moment today, I want to talk to you from a subject entitled, I Just Don't Get It. I just don't get it. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. R.B. Thine Jr. wrote an article called Reversionism. He started off the article posing a question. He says, why do believers sometimes act like non-believers? It's a good question. Good question. He goes on to say, any Christian who habitually revolts against God's plan is in reversionism. Spiritual decadence brought on by perpetual carnality and rejection or negligent of Bible doctrine. Reversionism explains why believers emulate non-believers. It's where logic, reason, and common sense meets. It's where you find out that common sense isn't all that common, because we negate all three to do things that will make you say, I just don't get it. It's the idea that says, I knew that it was a bad decision, but I did it anyway. Whether you want to admit it or not, we often do things that I just don't get. Has anybody in here ever did something that when you think back over your life, you don't get why you did what you did? I don't get how you can gossip with people about the flaws of others, knowing that soon as you turn your back, they're going to gossip about you. I don't get how you can spend all you have trying to live like the Joneses, only to end up broke with tags on your outfit that you got to return soon as you're done wearing it. I don't get how you can have a $2,000 Gucci purse with $2 in it. I don't get how you can drive an Escalade with TVs in it and live in your mama's garage. I don't get how you can be envious and jealous of someone else when the same God is able to do the same thing for you. I don't get how you can keep going back to the same old people over and over again, thinking that you can rekindle a dead relationship. He was crazy when you left him. He gonna be crazy when you go back to him. I don't get how you can have a God who's a heavy load carrier and you trying to carry the heavy load yourself. I don't get why you panic about problems and predicaments when you can pray your way through and come out on the other side. I don't get how you can have a God you can trust and you still try to handle life all by yourself. When the corridors of eternal glory is crying in your direction, just trust me. I don't get why you would hang out with people who mean you no good. And then when you find out how they really feel about you, you keep on trying to win them over. Check this out, family. They not gonna like you no matter what you do. They not gonna like you if you short. They not gonna like you if you tall. They not gonna like you if you bald. You can have a weave down to your butt. They still not gonna like you. So pick up the broken pieces in your life and keep it moving. I don't get how someone can come into God's house and sit there like he ain't did nothing for you. I don't get how some people can be racist. You can't pick the color you're born or what part of the world you're born in. There is only one race, that's the human race. And if you cut us, we all bleed red. I don't get how some folks can come to church and have hands to clap and won't clap them, voices to lift and won't lift them, knowing how good God has been to them. I don't get folks who can come in here and just sit there knowing that they could have been dead, should have been dead, but God kept you in the hollow of his hands. I don't get forget how you can take your resources and God has stretched them out. And you ain't never been rich, but you ain't never missed a meal. You've never been without. You've always had what you needed. He's opened doors for you that man cannot close. Closed doors that man cannot open. He's made a way out of no way for you. You wasn't even standing on his word, and he still never left you nor forsook you. You wasn't holy. You wasn't righteous, but you never seen you nor your kids begging for bread. I don't get it. I don't get how you can be in a family where y'all have the same father and be mad about what the father chooses to do for one that he doesn't choose to do for the other. Now, according to the Gospel of St. Luke, in verses 1 and 2 of this 15th chapter, Jesus tells one parable, yet it manifests itself in three narrological expressions. Parable number one is the tale of a man who has 100 sheep, but he loses one sheep and leaves the 99 to go find the one. Oh, I don't know how you feel about this, shepherd, but I thank God that he loved me enough not to let me stay lost for too long. Is there anybody in here who can testify that it wasn't because you were so good, but because you had a shepherd who cared enough about you to meet you where you were, save you where you were, and put you back in the flock? In parable number two, it's the story about a woman with a sloppy house. Now, chill out. I ain't talking about nobody in particular. I ain't even never been in your house, okay? But this particular woman does not clean up her house. She has 10 coins and she loses one in the house. Now, here's what I find interesting. You can be lost in the house. I know some of y'all think the lost people are out there in the streets, but we got some lost people in the choir stand. We got some lost people on the usher board. We got some lost preachers in the pulpit. Everybody that looks like a saint ain't. Some folks are lost on the inside. And here's what happened. She cleans up her house, and as soon as she's done cleaning, y'all ain't gonna believe it, she finds the coin. And oh, how I thank God for his grace that would allow him to find me amongst the trash. Can I just throw this in the gumbo while I'm stirring the pot? Some people got saved in the church. And that's beautiful. It's nice. It's ecclesiastical. But somebody in here can testify that God saved me in the street. He saved me in the crack house. He saved me in the whorehouse. He saved me in the jailhouse. The text says that she finds her coin in the trash and she celebrated. And some of us in here today are celebrating because God found us amongst the trash. And I know some of y'all been saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized with the fire and covered with the blood. But there's a few of us in here who can testify that if it wasn't for the Lord on my side, I would have lost my mind a long time ago. Now, parable number three, that's the one in our text. The text says a certain man, we don't even have his name. He's just a certain man. He has two sons, and the younger son lost his cotton picking mind. And I'm the youngest son in my family because so I was a little confused about this because usually the younger son is the good son. But this baby boy just lost his whole mind. Every family has at least one person who is just crazy. No matter how much you pray for them, they just not all there. And if you don't know who the person is in your family, This boy goes to his father and says, "Daddy, I want my inheritance, and I want it now." Now, the problem with this is the father is still alive. So the father says, "Since you're crazy enough to ask for it, I'm crazy enough to give it to you." And the Bible says he goes to a far country. Footnote. He goes to the 10 cities of what's called the Decapolis. What's interesting is it's only 0.8 miles away, which lets me know that the far country ain't got to be that far off for you to be lost. Some of us left the far country at home because he didn't want to come to church with you this morning. For some of us, the far country is the strip club down the street. For some of us, the far country is a blunt and a shot of Hennessy. All I'm trying to tell you is sometimes the far country ain't all that far. And the Bible says he spends all his money. He broke. His account is negative. He's scared to answer his cell phone. He spends all his money on harlots and riotous living. He spent all his money at the strip club, smoking weed, getting high, and drinking yak. That's pretty much what that scripture says. And the thing that makes it worse is that when he ran out of cash, he ran out of friends. And now he finds himself eating, sleeping, and living in the pig's pen. And the Bible says he came to himself and had a meeting with the only three friends he had left, me, myself, and I. He sits down and says, "My daddy's servants are living better than this." So he decides to demote himself from a son to a servant. And he says, "I'm going home. I don't know if my daddy's going to accept me or not, but I owe it to myself to try." Sometimes you got to talk yourself out of a bad situation and say, "I owe it to myself. I owe it to myself to be satisfied without feeling like I'm settling. I owe it to myself to not feel other people's tank while I'm driving on empty. I owe it to myself to be better and not bitter. I owe it to myself to treat myself and not cheat myself because I work too hard and I sacrifice too much. I owe this to myself. I owe it to myself to act like I'm deserving and not just take whatever it is you feel like giving to me. I owe it to myself to make some moves that will benefit me because I put my life on hold for too many people who's never appreciated me and the sacrifices that I made. I owe it to myself to invest in my health and eat right and exercise and take my medicine. I owe it to myself to sit at home and do nothing if that's what I feel like doing." He said, "I owe it to myself to at least be my father's servant." He's been eating in a pig's pen. He's dirty. He's smelly. He stinks. And he doesn't have the option to change clothes or to go take a shower. But it doesn't matter what condition you come home in, as long as you make it back to your father's house. When he comes home, his father comes out to meet him, throws his arms around him, put a ring on his finger, kiss him on the neck, kill the fatted calf, throw a party and says, "Hey, my son is home." But the oldest boy has an issue with this. See, he's out in the field. And when he learns and when he hears the music and the dancing, see, it's one thing to hear the music. But when you can hear the dancing, now that's a party. The Bible says he heard the music and the dancing and asked the servant what was going on. Now, hold up a minute. How much you want to bet that he already knew what was going on? When people are mad, they ask dumb questions that are existential, like, no, she didn't. Did he really just do that? You already know the answer before you ask. The servant said, oh, that's your brother. He came home and the son gets an attitude. He won't go into the party, but here's the part that I like. When the son won't go into the party, the father leaves the party and come out to the son. And the son says, just the man I've been waiting to see. I've been working for you all these years. I've been loyal to you. I've been committed to you. I haven't given you any trouble. I've been keeping your doggone sheep and tending your mules, and this no good trifling son of a gun gets his money and goes to Las Vegas thinking everything that happens in Vegas gonna stay in Vegas. Then he has the you unmitigated galls to come home and you gonna reward him by throwing him a party. The father says, son, hold up, wait a minute. It's my money. And everything I have belongs to you. Is there anybody in here who can relate to the younger son and say, I've been some places I shouldn't have gone. I've done some things I shouldn't have done. I've hung out with some people I had no business being with. I don't even get why I did all that, but he gave me another chance. And I thank God that when I didn't get it, God did. He looked beyond my stupidity and my ignorance and my pride, and God gave me another chance. Ladies and gentlemen, you have no right to look down your nose at other people. The same God that forgave you is the same God that forgives them. Is there anybody in here who got flaws in their background, habits they don't need, and mistakes you've made? I don't get it how you can have a God like this and not love him with all that you have. Got about 3 more minutes and we're going to Olive Garden. While you're being upset about what God has done for somebody else, all you have to do is pause and remember what God has done for you. If the devil can make you compare yourself to others, he will rob you of your joy. We look at others and say, why are they blessed and I'm not? So many of us look at the gift that God has given us and we find joy in it. We happy about it until we see somebody else who can do it better. We look at their social media page and ask God, why do you answer their prayers and not mine? And God says, look at what you have. All good things come from above. And if you can't be content with little, then you can't be content with much. Because even if I answered every prayer you have, you still would want more because you haven't learned to be thankful. And thankfulness is a weapon toward the enemy. I'm really done, but I'm reminded of a story of a father in South America. Him and his son was estranged, and the son ran away, and the father couldn't find him. He searched tirelessly for years, but to no avail. In a last act of desperation, the father put an ad in the Madrid newspaper that said this: Dear Miguel. Meet me in front of the big clock in Times Square at 12 noon on Saturday. All is forgiven. I love you. Love, Dad. And y'all ain't gonna believe this new beginning. On Saturday at 12 o'clock noon, 325 Miguel showed up. 324 left unfulfilled, looking for forgiveness from a father who wasn't present. Just like leaving the pig's pen is a decision, so is forgiveness. This ain't for your neighbor. This is personal. Do you know how many years I've wasted? Do you know how many people I should have never gave my heart to? Do you know how many chances I've gave? As of today, I'm going to make a decision to come out of the pig's pen and go back to my father's house, because I don't get how I ended up here. It was just one hit of the crack pipe. It was supposed to be a one-night stand. I wasn't trying to ruin my family. It was just one bad decision, and I don't get how I ended up here. So if you want to know why I praise him so much, if you want to know why I love him so much, if you want to know why I holler so much, it's because that's my praising plan. I praise him every time I think of the goodness of Jesus, because I didn't get how I don't have AIDS. I don't get how I didn't get evicted. I don't get how I didn't commit suicide. I don't get how I'm still in my right mind. I don't get how he took everybody else and let me live. I don't get it. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I will give him my praise. Now I'm done. Doors of the church is open.